Well, it's hard to believe it started. As Mark D'Antonio says to me, it's getting near basketball season. So the Champions Classic, I guess I sometimes screw that up and call it the Tournament of Champions, but sometimes I like Tournament of Champions, but it's the Champions Classic. But there can't be a better way to start off for anybody, much less Michigan State. You know, it is our eighth year. I was pleased to hear that they just announced that there is an extension for three more years, so there'll be 12 straight years. Matt just told me that we've had the same coaches. When you think about that, that's unbelievable. That just doesn't happen that way. But every time we've played a top seven team, and it's the third time we've played the number one seed. So there's a lot of good things about that. And looking at Kansas on film, watching their two exhibition games, they returned two starters, but they've had an influx of guys sitting out. The Lawson kids from Memphis, you know, one of them's a preseason first-team All-American. So he's played a lot of ball. He set out. I think he's gotten better in watching films from when he was at Memphis when he's there now. You know, they've won the Big 12 last year and advanced to a Final Four. So they have guys on the team that know how it is to win. 7 foot center, Azubuki is a monster. And McCormick, the other kid, is 6'10". I mean, it's 265, 280. I wish Matt or Nick and Xavier wouldn't have lost all that weight. Because the 40 pounds they're missing, I think Azubuki's got. So that's going to be interesting. As all those games, I'm interested to see how things will be called early. You know, there's always these new rules and emphasis on the rules. And so that'll be interesting. But I think the best part about the game for me is the venue. As those of you that have been there a lot of times, is incredible. Incredible venue. The people that go to this game, throwing in the college football Final Four list or whatever you want to call it, is incredible. It makes for great entertainment in between games. And then we get down to our team, you know, and I wasn't totally pleased with our team up in Minnesota. I thought we had too many turnovers, and I thought we fouled too much, but they thought they fouled too much also, and that's what I worry about a little bit with these early season games. There was no flow to our game up there, and yet we got a lot out of that game. That was one of the more brilliant things that I've done here. Just because with the game so coming so quick and such a big game, we needed some top-notch competition. So I think we learned a lot from it. I thought we played okay against Northern. It's hard to get a real semblance and view of what's going on. I've still been pleased in both games with Nick Ward, how he's come. I think Cassius is making some serious strides, and I think for us to be great, we've got to get more out of Josh and out of McQuaid, but especially Josh, because he can play both ends of the court. We've got to make sure that he's doing the things that he needs to do, and we're doing the things that we need to do to get him the ball more in a scoring position. I think rebounding will be a big factor in this game. Fouls will be a big factor in this game. And yet, I think you got two very good teams that are trying to find themselves, and that's what these preseason games are all about. So, questions I'll take.
Tom, you mentioned Josh a little bit and how much of a difference he can be, and it feels like his first 2 years we see flashes here, flashes there, but that consistency hasn't been there. Obviously, it's important that comes this year, but do you see that happening? Do you see his experience kind of leading to that?
You know, I really do, Matt. I really do, but some of that falls on him. Being more aggressive, running a little harder. He's done a better job in the lanes. But some of it comes on us. We got to get him the ball. This is where Cassius, I mean, he's got some weapons. You know, we got to get it inside the Nick. We got two shooters on each wing now. And yet the best shooter we might have might be the one that's distributing the ball. So we're going to try to use him in different ways, too. You're going to see, you know, some of the freshmen in there, but you might see McQuaid at the point some, and we move Cassius around a little bit. We're going to do some things to make sure we get Cassius some shots. The best way to get everybody shots, to me, is to run. And Josh in the open court is very good. He has a great mid-range game. The second best way is to make sure we don't turn the ball over, because if you don't have the ball, you can't shoot the ball. So those have been some things that have hurt us in the past that we're trying to make sure we do a better job of. Playing a lot of guys early, especially up in Gonzaga, kind of cost us some of those fouls. We had about, I think, 5 offensive fouls in our first 13 turnovers. So it wasn't like we were just throwing the ball around. We were just making some crazy fouls. So I think Josh is going to be a big key, because he can play both ends of the court. And there just aren't a lot of great players that can score and guard. And he's one of them that I think has the potential to do that.
Now, we talk a lot about your bigs and the shape they've gotten into and the possibility of them playing together. How much is this just a big early test for them, particularly on the defensive end with these matchups?
I think it's going to be a big early test. I mean, I think for Nick, you know, he's going to have to be up on those ball screens, which he's done so much better job on. But then guarding Azubuike, I mean, he just rolls, stops, and it's, you know, it's like a redwood tree stopping. I mean, he's got a long arms. He's 7 foot. He's 285. He's every bit as much as all those things. And that's going to be a challenge, because normally we're trying to run back, force him down. You're not moving him. So we're going to have to get behind. He doesn't have great range. He's really struggled from the free throw line. But in general, you know, Nick's going to have to do that without fouling. And then when Xavier comes in, the same thing. You know, he can't get in foul trouble guard. We can't have an offensive foul for a moving screen, an offensive foul for a charge, and then have a couple of reaching fouls. I mean, we just got to be solid in there. Make him score over us. He can do that, but we're going to, you know, have a couple of different defensive ways of covering him that I won't disclose. There's nothing, any big secret. I'm not flying Jabbar in or anything. We're just going to try to do our job the best we can do it.
Tom, you mentioned Cassius. He played about 28 minutes a game last year. Is there a chance he could step up and play even more? Do you need him to? And
yeah.
I guess what, you know, you mentioned earlier about wanting to see him get to that elite status. Is this kind of that first step?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, I think you'd all agree that Denzel Valentine made himself in that game. That was his senior year, you know. But I think you play in big stages, and that's the advantage you got coming here. It can be a, you know, it can also be a curse. And you got to be ready to play. And I think for Cassius, the one thing you have to understand, if we run like we've been running in practice, I'm hoping he can play 32 minutes a game. But there's not many people that can play many more minutes than that if he's really pushing the ball and defending on the other end. And unfortunately, as a point guard, you're almost forced to defend. And he has been better at that, but there'll be a lot of pressure put on him too. They got some young guards, but very quick guards. And I think I said all along, Cassius would be a big part of this whole year, meaning he has to run the show. He's going to have to do a lot. You know, Foster may play a little bit, but I mean, this is Cassius's turn, and it's we need him to play probably more minutes. But you know, as he said to me the other day, you know, before you could coast some, or you could take some time off, you knew somebody was coming in. Now he's not going to be able to coast some, and maybe nobody is coming in sometimes. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that. He's in good shape. He's done a good job, and I'm anxious to see if he can play more minutes too, because I'm going to try to.
Tom, with Marcus, I know you said you had to talk to his parents before any decision was made. With the season starting tomorrow, have you decided what you're going to do with him?
You know, not 100% totally, but I'm 99% sure I'm not going to redshirt him. He's kind of a unique kid that my reasons for redshirting aren't always because he's not ready to play yet, because he's not on the defensive end. He is ready on the offensive end. But more importantly, you know, when you got academics, when you got trying to get stronger and bigger, when you don't want freshmen sitting there getting frustrated, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I would redshirt. So I did talk to DT. He redshirted. I talked to Morris. I talked to different people. I looked at my own situation in college many years ago, and I think it's probably in his best interest to redshirt because I think he could improve in all those areas, but I just not sure it's in many kids' minds nowadays. Or his family was great about it. He was good about it. I mean, I think he'd do anything I want done. But for me to redshirt a kid, he's got to want to do it. And I'm not sure he's there yet. And I'll be honest with you, the last couple of practices, I'm not sure I'm there yet, especially when there's one thing we're lacking right now, it's size. But I just don't know. I'm going off of a game against Northern where he looked like a poor man's Kevin Durant. And then I'm looking at him up in Gonzaga where they had a bunch of fourth and fifth year pretty solid post players, and he struggled, you know. But that was his first time, too. And if I looked at him the last 2 days, he's really made some progress. I mean, he's up to 211, you know. That's a lot of weight gain for him. But, again, he's got a long ways to go to make that good enough to survive. So right now, I'm 99% sure I won't. If I get there tomorrow night and don't play him for whatever reasons and have another few days to look at it, but it'll always be his decision. And his decision now, I don't think he'd like to, but I don't know of one kid that I've ever redshirted that like to. But no conflict. Parents are great. You know, whatever we think's best. It's just, I don't think kids feel that same way.
Cassius twice this summer talked about you emphasizing to him he needed to be more of a vocal leader, calling people out. Obviously, you haven't played a game yet, but have you seen that so far?
Yeah, you know, especially the last couple of days in practice. I mean, you got a lot on the plate, you know. I laugh. I got a chance to watch some of the Alabama game, and a D-back got beat, and, you know, that's Nick's cup of tea, you know. Mark's might be something else. Mine has always been a point guard. It is a point guard. I feel strongly that they have to have certain characteristics, but one of them is you got to be able to communicate if you are one. And he has the ability, and maybe more importantly, I think he has more basketball awareness than anybody on my staff, you know, including me. I mean, I just think he has a feel for the game. He knows where people should be. He knows every position. All those things are right, but what is knowledge if you don't express it? You know, well, what good does it do to have knowledge if you're not sharing it with other people or not telling people of the knowledgeable things you know? And that's the last week I've seen a lot more of that, you know. I told him up in Gonzaga, I thought it was better, but he's got to do better yet. And, you know, I don't know what will happen when the lights go on, but he's had three really good days of practice. That's been kind of including really pushing the ball at a different level. And so we'll see what happens.
Tom, with the freshman, what's the balance between trying to win game one of a season and a marquee showcase and wanting them also to take part in this experience, guys like Foster and Gabe that you may want down the road? How do you do that?
Well, that is what worries me about everything. You know, if there's a negative to our schedule and you look at those seven games in the next 30 some days, seven big, big games, because the two conference games are big and all the other ones are big. It's not very conducive to trying out a freshman. I'll give you an example. In the Gonzaga game, we were 3 minutes and 11 seconds, I think, left in the half. It was tied. I put in a couple freshmen, and there was four fouls, four free throws so fast, and boom, 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 and then two threes in the last 20-some seconds, and we were down 11 at halftime or something. You know? So winning will be a priority. I'm not going to give them the experience unless the experience it's been earned, you know. And right now, yes, I could use some of those guys, but it might be more in a if we need him situation, then here, go enjoy the experience. And I don't mean you said it like that. I'm just saying the experience for them, to me, should be getting on that plane tonight and flying to Indianapolis and getting off and seeing people at the hotel, whether it be reporters, whether it be fans. It should be going to practice tomorrow. And when you're at this event, I mean, you figure there's everybody there from football because they're covering it. There's everybody there from basketball. It's been a who's who goes to those games. I mean, from movie stars to pro athletes, that's part of the happening. And, hell, some of those guys might be so nervous they might, you know, kill the tuba player. I don't know with the first shot. But it's going to be an interesting for those freshmen. And yet they've all been through something in AU ball. But winning games is a priority. Getting somebody some experience is also one, but that's where our schedule hurts us. If you want to know the one area, if you look at the next 4.5 weeks, what do we say, 30-some days, we're playing 7 of them that are, you know, from Iowa to Rutgers in the Big Ten to Florida and Louisville and maybe Carolina or Texas or UCLA to Kansas. And so there's... Damn, that makes me nauseous. The hell did I rattle that off for? It was a good press conference until then. But so we're going to try to. But I think part of the folderol of stuff, it's like, you know, you talk to the kids that this is an NCAA tournament event. This is what it's, I mean, this event tonight is better than a Final Four event or tomorrow night when you look at the teams that are in that. I mean, 4 teams in the top 10. You know, very few Final Fours end up with that. So we'll try to talk to them about that. They'll have to go through the experience of the hotel and the meetings and the film sessions and the walkthroughs and a lot of stuff that goes on. That's why for a little bit that thing in Gonzaga, we tried to do a little bit of that just so they get used to it.